I'm Dave Nordman, executive editor of the Telegram Gazette, joined on this Voice of Business by Tim Murray, CEO and president of the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Tim.
Well, thanks, Dave, and we appreciate the Telegram for helping facilitate this segment, as well as Fidelity Bank for sponsoring the Voice of Business radio show.
It's a it's another week, but it's a historic week in our country, and I know that you know, much has happened over the last year, months, even the last week and days, but. Wednesday, Inauguration Day, is a day for hopefully for celebration and in this case a transition.
Yeah, a transition. And my dad was a history teacher and guidance counselor at Millbury High, and I was an American Studies major. So it's always interesting to and I'm always fascinated by it. But you know, inauguration of a new president, the second only Catholic president in the history of the United States, and the first black vice president and a woman. Really some historic precedents in that regard, and a time of kind of tumult and division in our country, but hopefully this transition and the message that comes out of it is one that can begin the process of trying to bring the country together.
Yeah, and the president-elect, soon to be president, has really preached that transition. You know, working across party lines, you know, reaching out to the right, bringing everybody to the center, and I guess time will tell if those efforts pay off.
Well, you know, let's certainly hope and pray that they do, because there's a lot of important work to be done, and during the transition. Since he was elected and Vice President elect Harris, they've kind of laid out their plan, and most recently a major initiative around addressing the vaccine and doing everything they can to accelerate the vaccination process and the implementation of that. Also talking about an immigration bill, which is important in infrastructure. So these are all things that, as a chamber, you know, we'll be monitoring and engaged in conversations with our federal delegation, Congressman McGovern, chair of the Rules Committee, Congressman Richie Neal, chair of Ways and Means, both two very influential individuals. So we'll be engaged in that. And they're both important. Vaccine goes without saying. You know, we need coordination. We need a White House that's not fighting with governors, but working with them, collaborating with mayors and healthcare leaders. But behind that, immigration is really important to states like Massachusetts, where we have an older population. The single biggest issue, Dave, we've talked about it on this segment many times, the single biggest issue that we at the chamber hear from our members is the need for employees. And immigration plays a really important role in having employees work. That's an important thing for a state like Massachusetts. And then infrastructure, a lot of projects that need to get done, and that's a thing that puts people to work as well and activates supply chains.
Yeah, and you mentioned Congressman McGovern, and I know Telegram Gazette reporter Brad Patrician talked to him for over an hour on Monday morning, wrote a story for the Telegram. It appeared online on Monday and in Tuesday's print product, and he addresses many of those things, talks about immigration, talks about transition, talks about the need for the country to heal and move past the current turmoil, so to speak. So.
Yeah. And, you know, while the federal government transition takes place, there has been some recent bill signings at the state level. Again, issues that the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce has been very involved with. The governor signed an economic development bill that had been passed by the House and Senate. I want to thank the Worcester Central Mass legislative delegation for their support of that economic development bill, an organization that the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce started back in 2015, the Alliance for Vocational Technical Education, which is a really broad coalition of people looking to expand student access to Chapter 74 vocational technical programs. We were able to get $15 million in that for schools, both comprehensive high schools and voc tech schools that need to construction dollars to help expand or to retrofit facilities or buildings to create new Chapter 74 programs. There was also $5 million in that will also facilitate students who might be at a comprehensive high school going to a voc-tech school after school to learn a trade.
Yeah, and the chamber has been very vocal and a huge supporter of vocational education and what it means to the Worcester economy.
Yeah, and you know, we're lucky in our chamber service region, Dave. We've got six, you know, voc-tech schools, including the city of Worcester, which is an in-district, but we've got regional voc-techs around the region. And our employers tell us that these kids are a step ahead because they understand what the workplace expects them. A Chapter 74 diploma, you know, is basically an industry-recognized credential because the industries give input to the schools on what they need, the students are going to need to go out into the workforce. The other piece of this is many of these kids do go on to college, some right away, others over time, but because they have a diploma that it can allow them to earn money, oftentimes they don't have the student debt issues. And like I said, they're ahead. So we really believe that vocational technical education gives kids a leg up. As we talk about economic opportunity and equality, we want to make sure that every kid, you know, whether they're living in a neighborhood in Worcester or, you know, kind of more rural town and somewhere out in Worcester County, that each one of those two young people have access to Chapter 74 because it gives Chapter 74 voc-tech programs because it gives them a leg up.
Yeah, and you mentioned from the outset immigration. It really, I think, often it's something that people talk about and debate about, but it's not something a lot of people understand and how important immigration laws and reform are to the economy, especially the economy of a city like Worcester and a county like Worcester County.
Yeah, you know, I would just encourage our listeners, if they know a business owner, certainly if they're a business owner themselves, they know how challenging it is to find employees, motivated employees. If you have a motivated employee who wants to work, you know, usually an employer can work with them on developing and enhancing their skills over time. But, you know, whether it be our hospitals, whether it be a small business, our service industry, manufacturing, all of these sectors are clamoring for employees. And so immigration plays an important role. You know, big, you know, families are not as big as they once were. Again, Massachusetts is population-wise is an older state. People leaving the workforce. We've got to backfill that. Immigration is something that allows us to do that, and also allows us to keep our congressional delegation. If you know, some of these states in the South, Arizona, Florida, others keep, you know, growing, we lose congressional population as well, and that's a whole nother consideration in terms of funding formulas and things that go into play. But if we want to keep our businesses and all sectors vital, they need to have access to workforce, and immigration plays an important role in that. And this uncertainty, and the irony, Dave, is that when you do some polling, this polling out there, you know, about 80%, maybe even higher, of the public agrees that immigration and there should be pathways to citizenship, but yet it's been stuck because of some, you know, hardcore partisanship that doesn't recognize that we need to come up with a compromise to get this done and help our employers and help these people, you know, realize the goal of the American dream.
And you talked about the Biden-Harris administration and their potential, you know, their support for immigration reform. So what types of things do you think that we'll see, you know, now and in the future in the new administration that will make things better for these employers?
Well, you know, one of the things that's been out there is the DACA. These are individuals. Now, many of them, or almost all of them, are adults at this juncture, but they came to this country when they were perhaps 3 and 4 years old with their parents. So they are not kind of citizens, but they've only known the United States their entire life. They went to school here. They've worked here. And yet there's just been this threat that, especially during the last administration, that they potentially could be transported. Deported out of, you know, detained and then deported out of the country. And many of them themselves now have families and have gone on to careers. So I think the Biden-Harris administration is talking about addressing the DACA population right out of the gate to put legislation, things in place that can allow them to stay. And then they're talking about a bill after that that would, over a series of years, allow people who are here currently, as long as they're, you know, working, paying taxes, you know, following kind of the guidelines, they then can apply for citizenship over after several years. So those things, I think, are all important. Again, if we're trying to make sure that our employers and communities have what they need in terms of a stable working population.
Right. And, you know, there are many things, just kind of making green cards more accessible, making the pathway to citizenship, you know, easier for the DACA recipients. I mean, it's just so much that goes into it.
Yeah, right. And like I said, many of these kids, you know, to think that someone was 2 years old, they came here with their parents, you know, have played by the rules themselves, work on a school, then somehow are going to be sent back to their country of origin where they have no roots, no connections, and in many cases violent and impoverished countries. You know, it seems to be, especially when the American taxpayer has helped invest in the schools that these kids have gone to and have a stake in these kids as they have a stake in this country, you know, these young people, it just doesn't make sense to be sending people back to other countries when really all they know is the United States.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, Tim, you have your finger and have for a long time on the political pulse. And, you know, oftentimes people will say, well, what is the, you know, what business, no pun intended, does the chamber have in things like education and politics? But this just proves that, you know, things like immigration reform, vocational education, these are things that, you know, directly affect the local business community and the economy of Worcester.
Yeah, and, you know, because I've been in politics, you know, people might say, well, he's just interested in it because he was involved in politics. No, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has said, you know, for a long time, how important it is that there be resolution to our immigration policy rather than this uncertainty. There need to be pathways towards citizenship. So, and, you know, this isn't just a, you know, side hobby of mine at all. I mean, the business community around the country has been very much engaged on issues around immigration policy, and business groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and, you know, smaller chambers like the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce, because we hear from our members how important access to workforce is.
And on the same token, education as well. And I know the chamber has been outspoken on, you know, the quality of education in Worcester as well.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's our hope that, you know, kids are going to get back to school. Hopefully, you know, we get the next 6 weeks behind us and get the kids back to school, get the teachers back into the classrooms. I think that's important if we're going to begin to think about opening the economy back up as spring comes, you know, just a few months away. We need to be pushing to make sure that we're reopening up in a safe and smart way. Tens of millions of dollars have been spent to upgrade the schools. So, you know, we think it's important, and that these Chapter 74 programs, you know, continue to grow to the current school committee and superintendent's credit. You know, they have petitioned to the state to expand Chapter 74 programs at some of the comprehensive high schools. So we've got Worcester Tech, which is a nationally recognized model, but some of our traditional comprehensive high schools like South and North High and others have petitioned for Chapter 74 programs. Burncoat's got a modified, you know, vocational technical program as well. These are things that are proven to be successful that the private sector wants, and our kids enjoy and want them themselves. So let's expand them.
Oftentimes we talk about events, you know, you've had a lot of great events, and we talk about, you know, things like PPE loans and grants and things like that. But today was nice to talk a little history on a really historic day in our country's history. So anything else on your mind, Tim, on this inauguration day?
No. We just, you know, wish the new administration the best and the new Congress as well as they're sworn in. And let's hope that they can work together and find some common ground.
An American studies major.
That's right.
I was a history major, so we could someday maybe sit down and just talk American history.
There we go. We'll have an extended segment.
There you go. That's Tim Murray, CEO and President of the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce. Dave Nordman, the Executive Editor of the Telegram Gazette. Thanks as always, Tim.
Appreciate it.